This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We get Killing Me Softly this week. We had phone malfunctions, apparently on both sides, and here we are, Sean. We made it through. Sean Keeler with the Denver Post for Killing Me Softly here on the program. Sean, my friend, how are you?
I'm great, my friend. I apologize to all your loyal listeners who missed out on our usual witty repartee last week, but sometimes it takes, you know, much like my White Sox, it takes rock bottom to make you go back, break it down, and start over. And so I have figured out these settings with my iPhone that was causing us issues, and it sounds like the studio phone that hated me last week has also got squared away.
We
so
think
they can fix the Rockies, they can fix us.
We think for now, anyway. Did you just get the new update on the phone, maybe? Because mine was jacked up after the update, then I got a second update.
I went to some privacy setting to see, like, huh, and it's like, if this is a number you don't know or a number from another area code, it will automatically go. I'm like, no, turn that off. And then suddenly, you know, your producer got me right on. So clearly there were some issues with that on my end. But, you know, again, you have to scrape. You don't, you're never going to swim to the surface if you don't get bloody at the bottom. So
yeah,
you got a little bloody at the bottom there.
Sometimes it happens, Sean. And it's okay. We made it. We're back here. And there's been a lot. I mean, I've been just amazed.
Oh, just a little newsy. Yeah, we got 2 weeks of news. Where are we going to start?
I mean, come on. You got Sean Payton just talking on everything yesterday. Calvin Booth sat down with Kevin O'Connor on the Kevin O'Connor Show. That was kind of interesting. He said a couple of things. I thought Calvin Booth was getting ready to get really deep, and then he would just meander away. I don't know if you saw it, but it was something. And what I took from Calvin Booth was like, I'm not going to burn any bridges, so I'm going to just try to compliment most people here. But Sean Payton...
Yeah.
That's kind of the story, right? Davis Webb will be calling plays, or will he 100%? Like, that's 100% happening?
I'm not going to go with 100%. I'm going to say that he gets the first vote and that Sean gets the director's cut at the end.
Oh, boy.
Does that make sense?
But
you know what? That isn't that unusual either. Let's not rain on this parade. This is a good thing. There is no way that this is a bad thing unless it screws up the operation. And I think we have enough faith in the base. You know, this is not Nathaniel Hackett stuff. We have enough faith in the baseline for all the ego crazy things Sean does. He knows how to get a play in on time, for pity's sake. So I think this is good. Like, and what it is to get, whether it was Penner forced or Condi Rice forced or whoever looked at him who could tell Sean Payton what to do, or to his own self-reflection. Let's give him credit, as he said, I believe, at his presser. You know, I was been thinking about this since about midway through the season. As well, he should have. Like, this is not going the way I want it to go. Do I need to let someone else get first crack at this? And good for him. You know, good for him. Give him his flowers for that, because that's going to be hard for somebody to do who is a borderline Hall of Famer and knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame and wants to be there and sees himself as a play caller. I wish Jay Norvell, in hindsight, had come around. Imagine a couple years ago earlier if he had made that same decision. Would we have what we have now? I don't know, because we might still have BFN, and that's a whole other topic. But that's hard for those guys to give up. So, and again, everyone thinks Davis Webb is a star. And that's the other thing I give credit to Sean for, is it's an ego-driven league. And when you're the star, it's got to be hard to hear that there's somebody young and sexy coming at you. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard for any coach, any player to deal with, unless they want to win. And I do think it says a lot about certainly where ownership is about winning and where Sean is about winning, because they are knocking on the door. and they are right there. And hopefully this is a wrinkle that gets them over the top.
Well, it's just if Sean came to his own conclusion on this, props to him, because, you know, we've all described Sean, or a lot of people have described Sean as like an offensive genius, an offensive mastermind. For him to kind of hand over the keys to something that he's been known for is a really bold step. But if it works out, yeah, he'll be applauded. Like, wow, you swallowed your pride. You put the team first. You really, that's the definition of a coach. If it doesn't, and they struggle a bit, and then even Sean maybe quietly takes back over 100%, who knows? This thing could end awkwardly. But right now, sure, you're right. Let's not rain on the parade. It's all positive right now. But, you know, Sean, sometimes I like to look on past the horizon and say, could this be the beginning of something kind of weird? But maybe not.
Well, it'd probably be weird for Sean, Peyton, and the people involved. And let's put it this way. Let's again be clear. Sean is going to get out of the driver's seat, but he's moving to shotgun. He's not moving to the back.
He's going to be like your dad teaching you how to drive, telling you literally what to do every step of the way.
You and I hit the same analogy. yeah, he is going to be the driving instructor. He is going to have arms, and he's going to have an emergency brake foot pedal. Didn't they have those cars? He'd have those.
Yeah,
he'll have an emergency pedal that he can hit when he doesn't like what he sees. So, yeah, I think Davis Webb is he's getting his learner's permit as a play caller. But by all accounts, he should be, because somebody else was going to give that to him if you didn't, and maybe more. Like, I don't drink much Kool-Aid, in spite of my various proclivities. But when enough people unprompted and unsolicited tell me that Davis Webb is a star, and you know this, when enough people tell you that, you're going to start believing. people who know the game better than you, and there's a lot who are like, this guy is going places and you want to hang on to this. Never mind what he could be as a play caller, the fact that he works together so well with Bo. We didn't get a chance to talk about this. I talked to Ben DiNucci, who has worked with him a week and a half ago for a column that I'm sure we would have gotten to last week. To that very point, that he is someone who relates really well with young players, and Sean kind of does, but not in the same way. He is the true Bo whisperer. He's kind of Davis Webb, and that sounds really sacrilegious, but it works for the three of them. And you could see where certainly publicly, you've seen where Sean and Bo are not on the same page, and they let 80,000 people and everybody back home know it. But I think Davis smooths a lot of that over, and it's kind of scary for me to think about what that relationship would be like without them, because again, it's working. This franchise is in an amazing place in that regard, and when you have that, don't rock the boat. Tweak the boat, but don't rock it.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Okay, where would you like? Let's stay on the Broncos here, because this one pertains to two teams that you follow. Robert Livingston is heading over to Denver. Good news for Denver. In fact, I think great news for Denver. But it's February 25th. Terrible news for the Buffaloes.
Well, they've got a replacement.
Yeah,
I'm still learning how to pronounce his last name, and they had that, and they had state media ready to go to put that out like 10 minutes after our Luca Evans and Adam Schefter broke that. I went, I know what my Sunday column's going to be, and then I went, are they going to open are they open spring ball next Monday with no DC? I went, tell me they're not, and like 5 minutes later, state media had the announcement I haven't practiced the last name, so I'm not going to pronounce it, but they had an internal candidate who apparently was the play caller at Va Tech from 2022 to 24. So they had somebody ready to go. The question then you ask, when knowing that they had somebody ready to go, did Robert Livingston jump or was he pushed? What do you think?
Oh, I thought maybe jump, Sean, but you threw the word push in there. So go on. I want to hear your side of this.
Well, no, I'm be curious to find that out too.
Oh, okay,
and I've been
okay.
calling around and asking people, but I think he jumped. But
there's a chance that maybe there was a difference.
Dion hired this guy before this happened, and then we heard about the Dallas 2 weeks ago. He reportedly interviewed with Dallas. Like, he put himself out there. I don't know Robert Livingston well, not just because of the prime wall. It doesn't help. I look forward, in fact, to asking him questions again. That'll be great.
Yeah, right.
He seems like a delightful guy. He and I know a lot of have mutual friends through Cincinnati, where I used to work, and they all said great things about him. Like, as a guy, and certainly his acumen didn't take a hit from 2024, right? Like, that was a pretty good D that then kind of went to hell in a handbasket last fall. So, same guy, different personnel. This again, I think it just adds a level of intrigue. I mean, CU, man, when they blow it up, say this for Dion, he blows it up. New OC, new DC, 50 new players. I mean, at least, right? 48?
Yeah.
Like, just literally the turnover from this is like, and him, he's going to pitch it next week or whenever he talks as well. I'm going 3-9 again. I'm going to blow it up. This is why we hit rock bottom. We're going to make sure this doesn't happen. And frankly, on their history, again, we've talked about it, they might be due for a bounce back because they seem to be very, the one thing they're consistent as being inconsistent. And the schedule has some favorable turns that if you get off to a good start, you might be able to maintain it. So I don't know, but it's fascinating because I don't know what this new guy is going to be like. I think I know what the go-go offense of Brendan Marion is going to be like. I don't know what this D is going to be like. So maybe that's to their advantage. But I don't know, man. This is a ramble, but I've just been trying to process this Livingston thing. It's interesting to me that in a year when you had two of the best four players in college football, and I've had some Buffs fans, alums, more than a few say this to me, they're kind of angry about 9-4. They kind of now look at this a year and a half later and go, that team should have been 10 wins, 11 wins with the kind of talent. And I would agree. I think he's like, they're lamenting the K-State games, the KU games, and the games that you could have had back. And they're worried that you're not going to get there again because you're just not going to have the kind of talent that you did with Travis and Shador. And you're not going to have those two NFL – you had two NFL coordinators who I was told at the time and wrote, and I got yelled at for this, among other things, and kind of thought that those guys were there not so much for CU. Robert Livingston and Pat Shermer were not there so much for CU as they were there for Travis, again, longtime secondary coach, respected secondary coach of a good secondary, friends with Deion's friends. And then in the case of Shermer, in the case of Livingston, and then with Shermer having a guy who had been an NFL head coach, for lack of anybody's good suggestions, against the Giants, better plans, and had been a coordinator, not a good one, with Denver recently. So it seemed to be about prepping his two star players as best he could for what they were going to get the next level. And clearly they've at times thrived with that as rookies last year. And so that paid off. But now you're going like the whole different, you're going back a 180 the other way with two lifetime college guys calling plays. So, fascinating. Going to be really, really interesting to see.
Sean, do you think then with, because however many weeks ago that was, maybe a month ago, we're finding out that Robert Livingston talked to the Cowboys or had an in-person interview. There is a chance maybe Coach Prime was like, no, you're late January, you're already out there trying to get a different job. Maybe I'm going to think about your replacement here in a bit. There's a possibility of that?
Yeah, again, it's the jump or pushed, but I've heard a lot of people who aren't sad to jump from that place. So it's just different. It's not for everybody. And the turnover speaks for itself. Like, you don't have to write it and point fingers and say it. I think it's pretty self-explanatory to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And yes, I will look forward to the chance when you finally get to talk to Robert Livingston. That would be exciting, Sean. All the things you couldn't say over those years.
We'll talk about Cincinnati. Yeah, we'll talk about Cincinnati chili. It'll be funny. I'm not so bad.
No. And this is what we were outlining. I can't remember. I was reading your story on the Christian Fourier thing, which I don't think you and I have even talked about yet. But who did you quote?
Darn your phone system.
I know. And because I really wanted to. Who did you quote in there that said you're not, it's something like you can't really ride the fence with Coach Prime in that article?
Oh, it was Charles Johnson, I think.
It was Charles Johnson. Yes. And it
super
was
a guy. And it another was a, super guy. And he admitted that, to your point, that Buffs, even Buffs football alums, are not all on the same page now for obvious reasons. That retirement thing, boy, that burned a lot of bridges.
I think, yes.
And they knew it. They knew it. I mean, I don't know if Deion cared, but I guarantee you Rick George knew it, and he just had to eat it.
Yeah.
And he lost some friends out of that. I think he lost a lot of respect with a lot of Buffs alums, certainly on the football side. And I think some of the giving side, too. I mean, again, Shedeur Sanders is the best passer that place ever had. Do you go and retire it the minute he's done? No. I you just don't. So that's done is done, but I think somebody had a lot of spillover from last spring.
Well, and Sean, it was a fascinating read, like so many of your stories are. And I'm not just blowing smoke here, even though we can't get a hold of you all the time. Fascinating stuff. And when I was creating a list on the show. I was going through your article, and when I was reading that, you know, hey, you can't really sit on the fence. And I'm thinking, well, I kind of sometimes do, maybe. And I was listing all the things that I was good with, but you were one of the things of following Coach Prime. That I thought was like one of the negatives was shutting off media the way he did, and you weren't the only one. But I had a pretty big problem with that. Obviously, the retiring of numbers. I didn't enjoy the ending of the Jay Norvell thing. You were talking about my mama. No, you weren't. Yes, you were. And that's just like a handful of things. There's been some other things that I've been kind of cool with. I certainly respect his health journey and what he's gone through and how he's handled it.
Yeah.
So I guess I am on the fence. I'm probably more on the negative side of the fence, though, than I am the positive when it comes to Coach Prime.
You're 16-21, about a 16-21 coach. That's okay.
Yes.
And I think that the thing with Deion, I thought about this relative to a column I've got up now. We may not get to it. We'll get to it in 2 weeks. Now about Brock Nelson and the whole USA Hockey and Trump thing. Is that I just have a trouble with, and we have talked about this on air. I struggle with absolutists, and that is, you love me or you hate me, and there could be no middle ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When clearly with Deion, he doesn't want you to ever feel shades of gray because it's boring, and he wants the clicks and he wants the engagement, and the brand has always wanted the clicks and the engagement. But the truth is, a lot of shades of gray. This is one of the best athletes ever. He did great things for Jackson State from a PR standpoint and elevated traditionally, historically black colleges and did all these good things. And then also kind of ran a scam of an academy, allegedly, and did some not so great things and may or may not have had business interests that were not great things. They're all the same people. And I just look at him as this big ball of shades of gray. But when you do that to him, then he goes, no, you must hate me because you bring up anything negative. You must hate me. You must hate Deion. You must hate Coach Prime. No, I don't. I just see he's flawed and human like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And not any better than the rest of us as a person. Certainly not as a coach. But if you go at one thing, you must hate everything. I just can't. I have a hard time with those folks. And that's not about black or white or race or faith. It's just about ego and personality. And to some degree about spin, and that's always been the case there, which is me coming back around to your point that I think you can make pros and you can make cons, and they're probably pretty even, and you probably would come up with about a 500 percentage. You know, that's kind of where they are. But and they're in a better place. I still say they're in a better place than they were 3.5 years ago. I mean, see, if you love football, absolutely. How good? I don't know. I think, and there's the rub again. You say, well, how come you haven't won really anything? Well, you must hate me. No, I just pointed out that you must hate me. You're 16-21. You were 3-0. Well, you must hate me. Okay. Well, we clearly aren't going to be able to talk. So whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. No.
It's hard to rationalize with those folks.
No, it is 100%. And again, just that coverage, that time, it's all been a very fascinating subplot in the Coach Prime novel that I'm sure you're going to write at some point. Ghost written by Coach Prime or whatever, forward by Coach Prime, I'm sure. Sean, before I let you go, the Brock Nelson thing, Now, again, depending on which aisle you're on, you got some that are like, yeah, Brock didn't go. Yeah, good for him. And then there's the other side that's like, why didn't he go? The president. And this morning I even said it before you sent me that. I said, well, they have a game tonight. So, I mean, it does. They do kind of. And they probably haven't seen their families in a while. So for Brock Nelson to choose coming back to Colorado, I don't think is necessary. Maybe it is, but I don't think it's necessarily a political statement.
No, I don't. I completely agree, and that's the column that's up now at denverpost.com. I please encourage you and your loved ones to read it because, yeah, I'm the son of union teachers and a bit of a globalist, so, yeah, I'm not real MAGA, but I would respect the decision if he didn't want to visit Obama or Biden. I think the point is, to what you just said, his decision was not a political one. It was a personal and a familial one, and I think he's going to talk before pregame today in Salt Lake City about that. I don't know that because it's the Avs. It may not happen, but I had it intimated to me through sources and people who know him well that, yeah, he is about his family and his faith. And that certainly would be in line with politically with MAGA and with folks. I don't think that anything about that was a pro-Trump, anti-Trump thing, but I could be wrong, and he'll say in 3 hours that, no, I hate the president, and I didn't want to go for that reason. I don't think that's what it was. But to your point, and that's what the Collins point is, they've got like 10 games in 18 days and like 20 in 26 or some stupid ratio like that. Give the man a day off and give the man his space, would you? He just did a 3-week shift in the Alps, and he's got 4 under 8-year-old kids, 8 years and younger at his house. Give him 24 hours, all right? And then we can point fingers. I tell people, it's in the column, he's going to go back to the White House, but he's going to do it with a Stanley Cup in hand. How's that?
Yeah.
We'll make that work.
Yep, I'm looking at it right now. Sean, great stuff from you, as always. Glad we got this rolling again. I'm getting texts in here. Smitty just texted me and said, Sean Keeler is one of maybe your best guests you have on every week. So there you go, Sean. A little compliment for you today. How about that, man?
I'm just glad the check went through to Smitty. I didn't think.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't. With my phone, not only do I have it working where I can actually get your call, I can Venmo Smitty while I'm talking to you.
You can Venmo the texters. Yes,
that is multitasking.
I love
right
it.
There.
I love
Venmo
it.
Me.
No, Michael, you were the whole reason we couldn't get Sean on last week. We were 100% blaming you. By the way, not Sean. Not even the phones. It was the producer.
That's because he couldn't Venmo me.
Human error, Sean.
I've got a pay to be on. Great.
That's a racket, too. That could be a new thing doing. Sean, appreciate it, man. We're up against it, but we'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Talk soon.
All right, man. Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 44 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.